Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you? I hope you are well. It is yet another steamy and hot and humid day. We had this wonderful torrential downpour today in the afternoon. It was beautiful, really. I had to stop my class and go watch it through the window. I hope you're well. I hope you're doing well in this hot summer. I understand on the east coast of the U.S. it is reaching ridiculous levels of heat. So if you are on the east coast of the U.S., I hope that you're staying inside. You're finding a nice library, perhaps, to enjoy their air conditioning. That's what I encourage you to do. But, you know, who am I? What do I know? I'm just a podcaster. But this has been a pretty good week. We are nearing the end of the school semester. I can see summer vacation on the far horizon. Yes, only one more week of classes to go, and then a couple weeks of administrative stuff and, you know, putting grades together and all that other whatever it is teachers do. And then time off. And I have no idea what to do for time off. I've never had time off. Not a summer break anyway, not like this. And the boyfriend's got to work, so I do feel kind of weird going out and doing stuff. You know, well, he's working and I'm free and flitting about Japan, but I don't know. So what do you recommend? As my loyal listeners, don't worry, I will, of course, continue to do the podcast. That's beyond question. What do you recommend? I'm going to have about 3 weeks off, nothing to do. Give me some suggestions. Read, of course, is a default. So that's the future. We're not talking about the future today. We're talking about today. Today in Japan, today is a festival. It's a holiday called Tanabata, and it's a very famous, very popular, very romantic holiday in which these two stars, Altair and Vega in Western nomenclature, but Orihime and Hikoboshi, are two lovers who are separated by the Milky Way. And on this night, and only this night, they are allowed to meet. Everybody loves this story. It's oh so romantic. You go around, you'll see bamboo branches with little banners hanging from them. It's very nice. Of course, as much fun as this festival is, it is not really a Japanese festival. It originally comes from China, and it has the name Kije, I think. Kije Festival? I don't know. Any Chinese speakers who want to correct me on that, please do. But it's known as the Night of Sevens, and it's a very similar story. It's these two lovers who can only meet on this night, and it's considered very romantic. Everybody loves it. So the book that we're doing tonight, as I said last week, is pretty much inspired by this Chinese festival. Now, I didn't get any correct guesses, which made me very sad, but that's okay. I will not hold it against you. I will not sit here and steam and perhaps cry that nobody guessed the correct book, and I will not entertain horrible thoughts about any of you. Well, not most of you, anyway. But the book we're doing this week is Bridge of Birds by Barry Hughart. Now, let me say this. This should really be all I need to say. It is not often that you read a book and it immediately jumps into your best books ever list. Usually it takes some time and some reflection, careful thought perhaps about the book's characters, themes, and message. Perhaps a reread would be in order, and then after some consideration you might say, yeah, I think this is a really, really good book that I want everyone else to read. Well, I think I hit that somewhere around page 182 in this book. This is, as the cover tells us, a novel of an ancient China that never was. It is set in the long-ago, indeterminate past of which China has so very much, and starts off in a small village with an unusual history. The village of Kufu, the story goes, was home to a section of the Great Wall, commissioned by the Emperor of China many centuries ago. This would not in itself be notable, except that it was built 122 miles south of the rest of the wall, thus serving no real purpose whatsoever. The general in charge was, he maintains, given the orders by the Emperor of Heaven himself, a story which held no sway with the more earthly emperor, who was ready to execute him. A more believable story was produced, then, that a great dragon had rested itself on that part of the wall, thus moving it, and it shouldn't be tampered with. And so the village of Khufu became home to what was known as the Dragon's Pillow, a place that would one day loom large in the history of not only the village, but all of China. It is a peaceful village, with the usual colorful characters you get in such a place, such as the terrible partners, Pawnbroker Fang and Ma the Grub, two greedy and unscrupulous men who hold the economic life of the village in their hands. When their misdeeds go too far, resulting in the horrible poisoning of many of the village's children, the story's narrator, whose name is Number 10 Ox, but whose given name is Lu Yu, but he would not want to be confused with the famous author of the Classic of Tea, and you know, who can blame him? Number 10 Ox is tasked with bringing a wise man from the city to diagnose the problem and find a solution. Out of the many wise men, Ox finds Li Cao, a cynical, world-weary curmudgeon with, as he so often tells us, a slight flaw in his character. Together, Ox and Li Cao must travel the length and breadth of China to find the Great Root, a ginseng root that was kept by the mythical princess of birds, and whose healing properties are all that stand between the children of Khufu and certain death. Along the way, they must travel terrible labyrinths. Woohoo! Fight unimaginable monsters, battle against an immortal evil, bring peace to restless ghosts, and solve the greatest mystery in the history of China. What happened to the Princess of Birds, beloved of the Star Shepherd, Prince of Heaven? There's really just so much to recommend in this book, I don't know where to start. For one, it's a lot of fun to read. The person who recommended it to me did so on the reasonable assumption that, since I like Terry Pratchett so much, I would probably like this book as well. And that was a very good assumption. There is a certain similarity between the two. Hughart uses humor very deftly, keeping the characters alive and interesting, even through the most dangerous of times. Where Pratchett's humor often feels more like literary slapstick, Hughart's is a bit more subtle. The characters are funny, yes, but the book was not written to make you laugh. It was written so that the reader would have a good time reading a story well told. And wow, what a story it was! It begins with a fairly straightforward quest, a search for the great ginseng root to cure the children of Khufu, and turns into something so much larger than that. As the evil Duke of Qin says, they're on the right quest, but for all the wrong reasons. A cryptic statement that takes a while to make some sense. The scope of the story just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes on, and you realize that the pieces for this quest were put into place hundreds, if not thousands, of years before the story actually started. The whole history of China is on display here, if somewhat distorted for the purposes of entertainment. Hughart spent time living in the Far East and gained a healthy respect for its long and often unbelievable history and culture. The book includes elements of China's history of inventiveness and ingenuity, as well as cultural myths that extend beyond its borders. And the characters themselves are wonderful, too. Number 10 Ox is an earnest, strong, well-meaning young man who has one goal in mind: save the children of his village. Li Cao is a devious old man who tends to use his wisdom and quick thinking for more nefarious purposes, thus the slight flaw in his character. And I don't know about other readers, but when I read Li Cao, I imagine Victor Wong from Big Trouble in Little China, you know, the guy who played Egg Shen. That's the voice I have in my head for Li Cao. It's perfect. There's a lot of notable minor characters as well, including, of course, Pawnbroker Fang and Ma the Grub, who somehow managed to turn up all through the story, always being chased by the people they've cheated. The Duke of Qin is a terrifying figure. Henpecked Ho is comically dark. And Miser Shen starts off utterly unlikable. But if there is one character in the story that forces you to put down the book for a few minutes and gather your thoughts, it is he. It's a moving tale of hope and perseverance and the power of myth. It's a story about the need for humanity to temper desire and what happens when we let our lives be governed by fear and greed. It's about love and justice, revenge and history. It's a book that almost immediately earned my respect and my admiration, and that's pretty hard to do. So go get it. Block out some time when you can sit and fall into the story and really get absorbed in it, because let me promise you, it will be well worth it. Let me give you a quote. This is, of course, from Li Cao. I am not even going to try to do Victor Wong's voice, because it would just sound horribly, horribly racist. Li Cao is relating, in this scene, he's relating a conversation that he had to a foreigner by the name of Prosopius, and Prosopius was asking Li Cao about attaining wisdom, since Li Cao is a famous wise man. And Li Cao responded to him, "Take a large bowl. Fill it with equal measures of fact, fantasy, history, mythology, science, superstition, logic, and lunacy. Darken the mixture with bitter tears. Brighten it with howls of laughter. toss in 3,000 years of civilization, bellow Kanpai, which means dry cup, and drink to the dregs. And I will be wise? Better. You will be Chinese. So there we go. That's Li Kao to Precipius on attaining wisdom from Bridge of Birds. Again, as I said, I don't really know where to begin with this. I don't know where to end with this. I could keep going on and on and on. Go get it. It's really, really good. And you realize, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, that that organ that people say is the seat of emotion in other human beings, what's it called? The spleen, liver, no, wait, heart. That's it. That's the right one. I had that replaced years ago with a large chunk of coal. But there's just a couple scenes in this book where even I had to just sort of put the book down and just stop reading for a minute and gather myself. And any of you who know me know exactly how hard that is to do, or how hard that is to have that effect on me as I do anything, so much less read a book. So there you go. It is an excellent, excellent book, and I cannot recommend it enough. Bridge of Birds, Barry Hughart. There's two more books that follow. I don't have them yet. I'm planning to buy the Omnibus edition, which has Bridge of Birds and the other two, and I'm greatly looking forward to reading it. I've been hearing a lot of feedback from other people who've read it, and everybody says, I read it and I loved it. There's just no other opinion that I've seen. So, cool. Anyway, enough about Bridge of Birds. What do I have for you next week? Well, I mentioned that Barry Hughart does occasionally get compared to Terry Pratchett, so I figured next week we could do a little bit of Terry Pratchett. We haven't done Terry in a long time, not since October of last year. How have I let so much time go by without Terry Pratchett? I don't know. So, next week's book will be a classic tale of Discworld. The main character of this tale, I believe, should be played by Humphrey Bogart. The fact Bogart is dead is simply a minor stumbling block, but the main character should be played by Humphrey Bogart. And it is the first appearance of this character. So if you know who the character is, then you know what the book is. Go check it out. You can send me your emails. You can send me your Twitters. You can send me your Facebook messages, whatever. Just tell me what you think. And yeah, I think that's it. The boyfriend's out walking the dog. He'll probably be home soon. So I guess it's time then to say thank you very much for listening, as always. And I will see you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.